So, why biochar? Okay, we've talked a lot about this today, but I just really want to reinforce the importance of it. So, you know, basically, we are creating a solid-state black carbon that can last anywhere from 50 years, depending on the ecosystem that it's being introduced into, up to a million years. The soils that we were talking about that are in the Amazon, those are carbon dated back to about 7,000 years ago. And the biggest difference between those soils and adjacent soils is that biochar makes soil regenerative, as where plants tend and humans tend to deplete soils, biochar is the part of the equation that keeps soils healthy. And that is huge. And then you stack the function of the fact that you are taking that solid state carbon and you are putting it in the ground to cooperatively interact with the biota in such a way that it increases their amount of reproduction, their amount of access to food, nutrients, water, living space, that their carbon-based life forms as well, they are amplified. And if you stack that with mineral integration, mycelial integration, right, now you have a living soil system that can produce a minimum of 30% better yields, right? Some research has found 880% better yields. And it's dependent on the plant to biochar ratio and other systems that are integrated within that. But that's a substantial yield, right? That's a substantial yield, 880%. So we got to get it in there, right? We got to get the biochar in there. And then that creates the opportunity for the biota that we're talking about. The beneficial biotas that we're talking about are predominantly aerobic, right? And the anaerobic ones are the ones that they really don't like the sunlight, but they're food for other parts of the ecosystem. So they have purpose in place too. It's just having that balanced equation. We got to get this in the soil so that they can do what they do in the soil and make more of them, eat more, produce more, right? Sequester more carbon, sequester more nitrogen. Nitrogen is another one of those greenhouse gases that we need to keep in the soil. Biochar significantly reduces the amount of nitrogen loss and keeps it in the soil. So the Egyptians have one of the earliest recorded uses of biochar, where we actually have documentation of it. But there's not much direct evidence that showcases how that was used in agriculture. We know that the Egyptians were a highly agricultural people for a long period of time, and that in fact they were the longest existing civilization, empire, over 3,000 years of reign over their region, and that during the Roman occupation of it, that they were the major food producers for the Romans, mm-hmm. right? And so unfortunately now we can't see direct evidence of that because it's become desertified, which is another great example of man-made climate change, right? when there's overwhelming documentation that this used to be a highly fertile, productive place, and now it's a desert, okay? And how do we return that to its former glory? What is it going to take? The Greeks, they utilized it for energy, right? Primarily, as we saw, when we make in the biochar, that can be used to burn, and it produces less gas. Well, they could burn those torches and use them in mines where they were mining for silver, right? And so still not a lot of other evidence, although there is some that they were using in agriculture. The Greeks actually left tons of information about experimentations with different types of biomass that they were using to create biochars, and how those different older trees do not produce the same quality of biochar as younger trees do, right? And so they were using younger trees to create the biochar. That was one of the rudimentary scientific things that they did. But, you know, back then science was you did something and then you saw that it added benefit and that's all you needed to know, right? You know, you didn't have to go through the why. So they did that. This is totally new to Western science. And it's only recent that indigenous scientists are now coming out and formulating questions in the Western scientific model and proving traditional ecological knowledge by using their terminology to create, like, this is why we did it, this is how we did it, you know? The Romans utilized biochar for water filtration and did tons of research on that. They also used it in agriculture. But probably our greatest legacy of biochar in action, actually working, is in the Amazon, right? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But that's about, you know, 7,000 years ago, right, that they did these practices and then disappeared, ran away because of colonization, dispersed into other patterns, right? But the evidence of their hands working with the soil is directly left through this biochar. And Europeans started to do research, and most of it was driven early on by the introduction of gunpowder, right? Charcoal is a part of gunpowder, and so they started to do research on that. And then towards the 1800s is when they started to do it, research on it in agriculture. That's when it became formalized. And in the late 1800s is when it was discovered in the Amazon, right, and brought to the attention that this was utilized to create great soils. In 2005, I believe there was only 50 research papers done at all, and I just mentioned that now there's over 15 done a day. You know, research coming all over the world, students in universities doing research on this biochar. So, that's, you know, some really exciting stuff that we can definitely learn from our ancestors. Over multiple years, right, it was sowed into the soil. And so we can only guess as to how they did it, right? But they probably used techniques like what we were talking about earlier, where they were burying it in the ground, control fire, and then smashing it up and spreading it out. And they probably did it multiple times a year over multiple generations in order to get that kind of stratification into the soil. But the oldest carbon dating that they have for this is at 7,000 years. So they were doing it for a while, right? And this is 7,000 years pre-Columbian, right? You know, exchange. So what was most interesting to me was them talking about how depleted the Amazonian soils are now that weren't treated with this, right? Because nobody is working in harmonic relationship with the soil anymore, right? So imagine if they were allowed to keep spreading this technology throughout the Amazon, what it would look like and how different that bioregion would be. And the biochar that we're looking for, right, is consistently black, lightweight, and before we introduce it to the soil, we need it to be, you know, particulated into the smallest substrate that we can so that we can get the maximal amount of use out of it. I remember the first time that my grandmother introduced me to soil. I was young, like 2 years old. I still, when I tell this story, can hear the melody that was going on in my head. And I ran around the corner of the house, and she was standing there over some fresh soil compost that she was blending together, and she said, "Look, Mijo, come here." And I came over, and I remember when she held it in her hands and she showed it to me. She said, "Look, it's alive." And I clearly, distinctly remember, "Grandma, you're crazy." And I've spent my whole life researching to understand that, you know, my grandma knew exactly what she was talking about, and I was the one who was lost, right? And so I'm constantly reminded of that story in every day and everything that I do, that I need to be humble and that I need to recognize that I nowhere near know it all. And so when you're dealing with soil and introducing into it, you know, it depends on the plant, it depends on the soil that you're utilizing, the bioregion that you're in. Soil needs a lot. It's very complicated system, and like I mentioned earlier, it's different depending on where you're at. And so it's beneficial to all soils, but it's best if it's sown in, right? Like you put it in immediately when you're putting in your plant, and that you water it. Those are the two things that are pretty much universal no matter where you. So this reactor system, this is some emerging technologies for the future that we could start thinking about. If we can better control the burn of this biomass, right, we can produce energy through this syngas to heat and power homes, and then the byproduct of it is this biochar. There's actually an oil that plant biomass with higher terpenes can produce these oils, and these oils can be utilized for multiple different things, for medicines, for perfumes, stuff like to burn, things like that. And there's tons of research out there and tons of people working on these biogasification systems. And it would be great to start thinking about how we can organize microgrid communities that utilize these systems to put us in a closer, smaller, independent grid system that is dependent on our inputs contributing to it. So our biomass would be firing the power plant that runs our homes in our communities or on our farm or in our county. And so there are some systems that are as little as $10,000 that can produce energy for up to 5 homes and could pay for itself within 5 to 10 years, right? That's what we have to do. That's what we need to start doing, some things that are gonna, we need to really up the ante on what we're doing, bigger scale, bigger impact, not asking for permission to do the right thing. This next question I propose to you, where do we go from here? What do you guys want to see in Boulder? Thank you guys again so much.